May the words of my lips and the thoughts of our hearts and minds be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I don't think anyone in our country, in this nation, could have gone through the past weekend without realizing the significance of events that took place 100 years ago. Events which affected every home, every family, every town, every village, every city, every county of this land and others. The 36th Ulster Division, the 16th Irish Division, along with other divisions, embarking upon the Battle of the Somme. A battle which would go down in history, as you've heard me say before at our commemoration service, as being the most bloodiest of battles in the history of the British Army. So many losses, so many casualties, so many people affected. One of my roles in Strabane, as you know, is chaplain to the Royal British Legion Strabane branch. And that, in a way, gives me access to certain articles and certain documents that we wouldn't normally have access to. And one of the things that has been in my mind over this last week or so is, what about the role of the clergy within these battles and within these wars? And we all know that every division, every platoon has its own designated chaplain. And indeed, a colleague of mine, someone that was the year below me in college, is currently a chaplain within the Irish Guards. But what was the role? Chaplains tended not to carry weapons, but would have been very involved in the front line. For the Protestant and Reformed clergy, their role would have been to prepare the soldiers for battle, to have had Holy Communion at drumhead services, to have been at the front line encouraging troops to be brave and to be courageous. And where possible, many chaplains ran on to no man's land themselves to comfort the wounded and the dying. For those of the Roman Catholic faith, they would have had the added responsibility of also pronouncing last rites to those soldiers who were about to leave this scene of time. But in my thinking and in my studying of the role of chaplains, I came across a letter of the Reverend Henry Gill to the Reverend Thomas Nolan. He writes of the days of the Somme offensive and those opening days of the battle, but he also talks about the death of one of his fellow chaplains of the division. He recalls the horror of war. And so he writes, "Dear Reverend Sir, just a line to say I am still alive. We are, of course, as always, in it. I have been wandering about trenches and dugouts recently captured from the Germans. I believe I may not say how many casualties we have during the attack, which is, I suppose, the first of a series. Father O'Sullivan, one of the chaplains of this division, was killed last week. I was speaking to him a few hours before. Then we gave each other absolution. He was a splendid young fellow and will be hard to replace. This is about the fifth attack I have been in, and I feel I know more than I want about shells of all sizes and conditions. It is a horrid and squalid business. Trenches full of mud with bodies of dead Germans and British lying unburied all along. Please God, it will end soon and that we may be able to forget it all as quickly as possible. However, the outstanding thing is real courage and wonderful scruples of officers and men in the midst of the awful wounds and death and squalor all around them. Possibly death has lost its terror for me. With kind regards, I remain your ever friend, dear Reverend Father. Yours, the Reverend H. W. Gill. He served in the 2nd Royal Irish Rifles. He served at the Battle of the Somme as a chaplain, as a padre. And this letter was written on the 5th of July, 1916. But what is it all about? Why do we remember? Why is it so important? We've thought about this so many times. But there are two particular things I want us to think about this morning. And the first is the call. Brave men in 1914 and through to 1918 received the call, whether through conscription or whether of their own will, to join battalions right across this land to fight for our freedom. The call went out and they responded bravely. We didn't realise in our family that actually someone belonging to us could have died at the Battle of the Somme. In my own thinking of our family, in my own personal study, I thought that fortunately every one of our family that served came home alive until Friday. Friday afternoon, I read a post on Facebook on the Castle Dawson page, just like Strabane has their page. And on it was the photograph of a Francis John Lennox, who is the brother of a William George Lennox. And through questioning and emails to cousins and Facebook posts, it possibly is that this man, who died on the 1st of July, 1916, at the Somme, is the brother of my great-grandfather. Somehow, hearing that news made it all so real to us as a family. It brought sorrow, it brought sadness into our hearts, and yet we joined so many. They responded to the call. Did they realise what lay ahead of them? There is a photograph on Old Strabane of the troops lined outside our church, ready to march off to war. We hear the tales of them singing as they went. Songs like "It's a Long Way to Tipperary." But did they realise what lay ahead of them? This morning I want us to think of a second type of calling. And that is from the passage which Sheila read for us from Luke chapter 10. The call of Jesus to go into the world. To go into a similar battle. In Luke chapter 10 we read of how Jesus appoints 72 people and sends them out two by two ahead of him into every town and place where he was about to go. And he sent them out with very distinct words and with a command. 100 years ago, 28 minutes past 7 a.m., whistles blew on the 1st of July. There was an unmerciful explosion and the troops went over the top. Jesus gave a cry which rallies the troops. And he says this, and I encourage you to look it up with me in Luke chapter 10, verse 2. He says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray that the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field." And then he says in verse 3, "Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves." As those men went over the trenches, detailed accounts of the battle tell us that they were mown down with machine guns, that they thought the Germans, their armour had been put out of use, but actually that was far from true. Jesus is saying that the battle which he calls us to fight, the journey which he sends us on, should we choose to respond to the call, that we will be going out like lambs among wolves. We do not know what we will face. We do not know what lies ahead. But we do know that he is with us. And one with God is a majority. That one with God can defeat anything that the devil throws at us. Every single one of us struggles in our own lives at times. There are things which life throws at us and no doubt takes the wind from us. No doubt causes us spiritually to fall down as if we were like dead. But actually, Jesus comes along and takes us by the hand. As the chaplains did on the battlefield, as was their duty, to take soldiers by the hand and say, "Do not be afraid." So Jesus does the same for us. He encourages us to get up and to move forward for Him. Had those soldiers have just stayed in their trenches, the battle never in the end would have been victorious. And so it is with us. Should we choose to just sit in our pews, to sit nice and comfortably in our own little circle and in our own little faith, then we will never advance with the gospel for Jesus. So the call to respond 100 years ago was answered by so many, and in many conflicts since. But the call to respond to Jesus continually goes out. It goes out to each of us. And the answer is, will we respond? Will we, if necessary, forsake everything? Leave everything behind us in this world that is worldly and follow Him? In the end of Luke chapter 9, which we heard read last week, we hear of how Jesus talked about the cost of following Him. And yet those two simple words were continually put out: follow Me. One man said, "I must go and bury my father." Jesus said, "Let the dead bury their dead. Come, follow Me." Another said, "I will follow You, Lord, but I want to go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." We, as God's people, have a responsibility to push forward for Him, regardless of what this world throws at us. We think of Lot's wife, and what happened to her when she looked back. She was turned into a pillar of salt. Heaven forbid that any one of us, whether physically or spiritually, should look back at what we once had and be turned into a pillar of salt. When we turn our lives to Jesus, we turn in full repentance. Repentance means turning from sin and following Him. Turning right round and going in a different direction. We must never look back. We must train our lives, our minds, to look forward at all costs. To follow Him and Him alone. And even though we may at times be like lambs among wolves, we know that Jesus is with us. Perhaps this morning in church, you're feeling a call to go. A call to respond to Jesus in some form of ministry, whether it's here in this church, or whether it's as a missionary somewhere else, or whether it's short-term or long-term service. But whatever it is that God is saying into your heart now, respond. Just pray, "Lord, I hear You. And lead me to where You want me to be." For some, that may be a whole family uprooting and leaving Strabane and going somewhere else. For others, it might just be becoming more involved in this church in the advancements of the gospel. But to respond to the call to go, we must first respond to the call to come. We must respond to the call to submit our lives fully to Him. To give Him everything that we have. To seek His forgiveness. To ask Him into our lives. And to come on to Him. As I've said, 100 years ago, thousands of men responded. The call of Jesus still goes out and has gone for 2,000 years. The answer is, will you respond this day? And if you respond, what is your response? Is it, I'll forget about it? Or is it, okay, Lord, I dedicate myself to you? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the call that you place upon our lives and for how that you encourage us to respond and to follow you. Father, may each of us in this church have that living relationship with your Son, to have accepted him as our Lord and as our Savior. And then, Father, as you call us to serve you, whether it's here in this church or in another place, Father, make us worthy of that calling and equip us for service. For we pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.